Welcome to the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm David Knight. It's Monday, January 13th, 2014, and here are our top stories.
Tonight, China is set to seize an island in the South China Sea by force. Governor Christie's personal tab continues to grow at the taxpayers' expense. And David Knight checks in with Larry Klayman as he continues the fight against the NSA spy network. All this and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, there's a lot of talk in the news today about war. And coming out of China, we see in an article from Paul Joseph Watson, China is set to seize a South China Sea island by force. Official Chinese state media had this headline, sudden major move of Chinese troops this year to recover an island by force. Now, this is an island that was taken 40 years ago and has been held ever since by the Philippines. But listen to what they say in the Chinese newspaper. They say, according to experts, the Chinese Navy has drawn a detailed combat plan to seize the island, and the battle will be restricted within the South China Sea. Well, I don't think that's necessarily going to be restricted if they start something like that. And we've seen bizarre and bellicose statements from the Chinese for the last several months from the official Chinese press. As Paul Joseph Watson points out in the story, there's been strident rhetoric about Beijing's ability to attack U.S. military bases in the Western Pacific, as well as a release of a map showing locations of major U.S. cities and how they would be impacted by a nuclear strike launched from the PLA Strategic Submarine Force. And these things are getting people concerned. And so you have to ask yourself, is this just internal saber rattling? Or is this kind of what Joel Skousen has pointed out, that after using the Chinese to take down the U.S. economically, will they try to use China to take us down physically with a war? Or is it really something else? It's maybe just a repeat of history. In this article from Washington's blog, they ask, can we avoid the Thucydides trap with China? And they point out that historically, this has happened. Countries start wars to distract their population from lousy economies. Currency and trade wars end up turning into shooting wars. And this is pointed out by the New York Times back in 2011. They point out that the Peloponnesian War was made inevitable because of the growth of Athenian power and the fear that it caused in Sparta. As I say, history doesn't repeat itself, but it certainly does rhyme. Now, there's rumors of war coming from another area as well. It's not just a question of whether or not the Chinese, after we built them up economically, after we transferred military secrets to them, will they be the ones to attack America? Will they be the ones that the globalists use to attack us? Or will it be Al-Qaeda that we created, that we funded, that we trained? And now this is what we see happening today. We've got neocons calling for U.S. military action against Al-Qaeda in Iraq. And this is what they have to say.
I'm not saying that we ought to have American troops in thousands of numbers back there, but the withdrawal that occurred in December of 2011 brought this about. The end result of the failure of this administration in Iraq is a symbol of what's to come in Afghanistan if we turn tail and run from there just like we did in December 11 in Iraq.
Well, there you go. It's the usual suspects, again, promoting endless war. You know, every time the government fails, they just use that as an excuse to do more of what caused the failure. Now, Kurt Nemo has an excellent article where he breaks down the revolving door and the nepotism between these different neocon think tanks. It's worth a read. Now, there's not just going to be war abroad, perhaps, but perhaps at home as well. That's what we're concerned about when we see the military build up within our police force. And now we have a future cop attacking Cop Watch and says that protesters should be exterminated in gas chambers. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and that's exactly what we see from this fellow, who is Darren Redding, a former U.S. Marine and a current cadet in training with the Washoe County Sheriff's Police Department. He said, if I had my way, there would be another Holocaust with camps and gas chambers full of effing scabs like you. I hope you die. I hope some cop beats your ass next time you're protesting or filming them or whatever. In fact, I'm about to start the training academy for the Washoe County Sheriff's Department in Reno, Nevada, and I can't wait to deal with punk-ass bitches like you. I would beat your effing ass just for the sheer joy of it. Yeah, we've seen a lot of cops doing that just for the sheer joy of it. And we see that the police never do anything to rein them in. They need to punish these cops just like they would if they weren't wearing a uniform. A crime is a crime. When they shoot fleeing suspects, when they lift up a dog and push it into the door of a stopped car, when the guy's got his hands up, those people need to go to jail. for those kinds of actions. And yet we see the police departments and the police unions protecting them, giving them paid leave. And even when there's a successful lawsuit, it's the taxpayers that pay the burden of that. That needs to be taken care of out of the police department's budget. They need to lose some of these people who have this kind of attitude. Where did he get that attitude? Where did he get that heart? Well, he's a former Marine, and we're seeing a lot of very dark information about what the military is training people as to who their enemies are. We are not the enemies. The American public is not the enemy of the police, like the government is trying to pretend that's the case. But there's other ways that the police can be corrupted. We see out of England another report from the Independent. Now, this is amazing because I find it amazing that they're actually talking about this openly in the mainstream media, but it's kind of hard to ignore. We have good police and we have good media that are revealing this because they're actually tired of seeing the corruption and the cover-ups that are going on. There's been two studies out of England, and both of these studies, one of them is Operation Tiberius, written in 2002. Another one was Project Riverside in 2008. And what they're finding is that gangs are using the Freemasons to corrupt the police. In Operation Tiberius, written in 2002, it found that underworld syndicates use their contacts in the controversial brotherhood, the Freemasons, to recruit corrupted officers. Now, Scotland Yard says that this is the most difficult aspects of organized crime to protect against. It's also the most difficult one to expose. And the article here says the political establishment and much of the media often dismisses such ideas as the work of conspiracy theorists. And yet, these are investigations, two major operations and investigations conducted in England, as well as, look at this, back in 1998, Home Secretary Jack Straw was concerned over the influence of Freemasons on the criminal justice system, and he tried to order that all police officers and judges should declare whether or not they were members of the Freemasons. And, of course, that was blocked by about a quarter of the police departments there who refused to abide by that law. Now, there's another investigation that's coming out about Chris Christie, and this looks to be even more incriminating than the bridge shutdown, Bridgegate, or I guess you could call it the Bridgetgate. This is about misuse of funds in the aftermath of the Sandy hurricane. It says, just days after dismissing two advisors, Chris Christie faced questions over the use of Superstorm Sandy relief funds. They find out that he gave money to produce tourism ads that starred him and his family, and he even gave it to a higher bidder. The winning bid of $4.7 million featured Christie and his family in the ads, while the losing $2.5 million proposal did not feature the Christies. So here you go. The people are paying 88% more to enhance Chris Christie's political image. But I don't think this is going to enhance his image. Now, as we're being distracted by things like the Chris Christie scandal, and it's not just a distraction, it's a real concern when we see that kind of arrogance and corruption. But there's something far more serious going on, and that is under the radar. Congress is moving to push the Trans-Pacific Partnership and TAFTA. We see that Max Baucus and Orrin Hatch have put out a bipartisan act. They call it the Trade Priorities Act of 2014. Now, what this is going to do is this is going to excuse them from having a constitutional vote on a trade treaty. We should be very concerned about this. Congress cannot just exempt itself from following the Constitution. The Constitution says that they have to have a two-thirds vote of the Senate. But then they come around and they pass this act which says, and of course Senator Baucus says, we're introducing this today to make sure we get these trade deals done and get them done right. Well, here's what they're going to do to you, as pointed out by a group opposing this called Fight for the Future. They're going to restrict, police, and censor the Internet. They're going to stifle free speech and innovation. They're going to radically decrease access to affordable medicine. They're going to prevent corporations from properly labeling GMO food. And they're going to elevate individual foreign firms to the equal status of sovereign nations. Well, this is the most egregious threat to both our rights and our money that we have ever seen. And our elected representatives, who are not allowed to see the bill, are supposed to vote on it without any amendments in a simple majority instead of the two-thirds approval required by the Constitution for a treaty. Now, right after the break, we're going to be joining Jakari Jackson. He's in California taking radiation readings and getting the public's reactions. Stay tuned.
My My friends, Alex Jones here to tell you about some of the most important information concerning you and your family's health. Radiation levels have more than doubled in the last 60 years in the Northern Hemisphere from all of the nuclear testing and radiological accidents. Radioactive contamination is now in most of the food supply. There's only two ways to avoid this. Move south of the equator or properly protect your thyroid with Nascent Iodine. Looking to protect my family, I've done deep research. Nascent Iodine is the purest, cleanest, absolute best form of iodine to protect yourself and your family. It's made right here in the USA, completely non-GMO. I searched out the best quality and now have developed a double-strength form of Nascent Iodine, exclusively available at InfoWarsLife.com. Nascent Iodine is on record as one of the only safe ways to detox from fluoride poisoning. Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Secure your super high-quality Nascent Iodine today at InfoWarsLife.com. That's InfoWarsLife.com. Introducing Pro One. All of your filtration in one system, portable, on the go. No more do you have two or three filters to just reduce sodium fluoride. You have a system that cuts out the sodium fluoride and up to 95% of hydrofluorosilicic acid. Advanced manufacturing technology combines silver impregnated white ceramic with new Aquametics advanced media for removal of fluoride and other heavy metals, all in one filter element. It is the only one that does it, and out of the gate, we have it discounted at 10% off with promo code WATER. This is the only system that in one unit helps reduce or remove pesticides, herbicides, chloramines, ammonia, and chlorine, hydrofluorosilicic acid, the most common form of fluoride not covered by other fluoride filter brands, and sodium hexafluorosilicate. Get your Pro Pure with a new Pro One filter today at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling 888-253-3139.
We've sent the InfoWars crew out to California because we've had a lot of reports of unusual things. We've seen a lot of sea life dying off in unusual quantities, unusual ways. We've also seen even debris with Japanese writing on it. And we were told when Fukushima happened that we could expect to see radioactive debris, perhaps even some radioactive activity coming across on the currents right about now. And we've also seen unusual activity on part of the government in terms of stockpiling radiation protection in the form of potassium iodide in massive dosages of 14 million doses that they want in just a couple of weeks. So the InfoWars crew is there, and we're going to ask them what they're seeing in California. Welcome, Jakari. Tell us what you're doing and where you are.
Well, David, we're right outside the Golden Gate Bridge, and we just shot a man on the street a few moments ago. And David, I'll tell you that I was a bit discouraged because we went to Half Moon Bay. We found many awake, alive, vibrant people, but we came here and nobody really cares about anything. We did find some awake people, but, you know, you walk up to somebody, he says, I don't want to be filmed on camera. Then I took the moment to educate the gentleman that he was being filmed by the NSA. He's being filmed by these streetlights over here, but he doesn't care about that. I guess he's more concerned with the 49ers, but we did find some people who actually care about this information about the bioaccumulation that's going on in Half Moon Bay, the excessive levels of radiation.
Well, you know, Jakari, what you're describing there is really kind of like a double think. You know, this guy is all concerned about you putting a camera in his face, but he doesn't think about the dozens of cameras pointed at him at any given time. And I see the same thing in terms of radiation. People are looking at 1,400% increases, 1,000% increases, and they say, well, you know, don't worry, it's only 5, 10, 14 times what we're normally seeing, but that's normal. No, it's 5 to 10 to 14 times normal. But there's this kind of, they can hold that conflicting, cognitively dissonant thing in their head at the same time, just like something out of George Orwell.
Yeah, just like you said, David, as long as it's not in their face, as long as it's not their kids getting sick or the lady who told us her friend was going bald, as long as it's not their friend, as long as it's not somebody they know, they just don't care about this information. They're more concerned with the 49ers going to the championship game or whatever else the situation may be. But there are awake people out here, and I am happy to see that.
You know, it's one of these things when you get a lower level of exposure to radiation, there's a certain probability, there's a stochastic risk, a statistical risk that you won't come down with it. Not everybody in Hiroshima and Nagasaki died, but there's an increasing risk as it accumulates in you over a period of time. And it's something that you can't really quantify for yourself individually. You don't know if you're genetically predisposed to it. You don't even know the level of risk that you're getting. But it's easy for people to say, well, there's always a finite chance, no matter how small, this isn't going to affect me negatively in my health. So they just ignore it.
Well, just you touched on it right there, David, because they say, well, this is normal for this level, these normal levels of radiation. Well, just because something is normal doesn't mean that it's necessarily good for you. You can encounter many situations. It's normal to get in a car wreck on the road. That's one of the most common ways to die. That doesn't mean that it's good for you.
That's right. They say that it's normal, and yet we see the government buying massive amounts of potassium iodide and wanting it over a very short period of time. 14 million doses over just a 30-day period, and they want that in just now a couple of weeks. I guess they're concerned about that, even though they keep telling us that it's normal and there's nothing to panic about, and then they try to panic us on normal issues.
Yeah, and then the people are saying that this is global warming or, you know, whatever theories that they have, even though we've seen record low temperatures, record ice, you know, many scientists getting stuck out in the ice when they're trying to claim that it's global warming. Just many kinds of wacky things going on around here. But you touched on it right there, David. The government is definitely buying this stuff for some reason. They don't normally go out and buy 14 million doses of potassium iodide.
So now the highest readings that you've gotten were around the San Francisco Bay Area. Is that correct?
Yeah, just a little bit south of here in Half Moon Bay where the gentleman shot the viral YouTube video, the citizen journalist. We ourselves, we encountered radiation levels about 370, and they say the normal there, those are CPMs, they say the normal there is about 30 CPMs. So from 30, which is considered to be the norm, to 370, and that's just what we found. Other experts, other people have gone out there and found even higher radiation levels.
Yeah. But that's the thing. It doesn't really matter at one level whether or not it's coming from Fukushima, because we have our own domestic risks, don't we? We've got industrial pollution. We've got pollution from the government when they bury radioactive waste. And then we also have the potential to have incidents from our own nuclear power plants. I think that's one of the key things about Fukushima, is that we need to understand the risk that it poses to us, because we have the same design in our nuclear power plants. The former head of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission came out last summer and said that we should shut down all American nuclear power plants after this has been going on for quite some time, because they have the same fundamental design flaws that we see at Fukushima.
That's a very good point, David, and I want to end with this. We've been talking to people who say they've seen tsunami debris from Japan. So my question, you know, if you can see debris visibly come over from Japan, why couldn't radiation come over here as well?
Exactly, and that's why we sent you and the crew out there, because people can't see radiation. That's why we sent you out there with Geiger counters, so that you could see the effects of the radiation, you could detect its presence. So where are you headed now?
Well, we're going to head about 4 hours south of here to Diablo Canyon. This is a nuclear power facility to test the radiation levels out there.
Okay, great. Well, thanks. We'll be checking back with you, Jakari and crew. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, David.
Bye-bye. Well, we're going to continue to look for what the mainstream media is not looking for and not reporting, and what the government is dismissing when anybody sees elevated levels. You know, whether the levels are elevated because of Fukushima radiation or because of something else, it still needs to be investigated. Well, coming up right after the break, we're going to have an interview with Larry Klayman, and he's trying to investigate what the NSA is doing to our rights. Stay tuned.
The facts are in. The studies are legion. Sodium fluoride and other toxic members of the fluoride family are devastating the health and cognitive ability of the American people. So why are the social engineers adding it to the water? Simple. Dumb down the host population that the parasitic technocracy is feeding on. We may not have been able to get fluoride out of the water supply yet, but we can help to get it out of our bodies. I am extremely excited to announce the exclusive InfoWars Life Fluoride Shield formula. Fusing six of the best documented ingredients from around the world to help the body remove not just toxic fluoride residues from the body, but a whole host of toxic substances. Let's take a stand against the globalists by blocking their poisons with Fluoride Shield. I use Fluoride Shield every day. Secure your Fluoride Shield and other pioneering formulations at InfoWarsLife.com today. Let's start cleansing our bodies now and support the InfoWar at the same time. That's InfoWarsLife.com.
We're on the march. The Empire's on the run. And the InfoWars Army is standing strong. Wake up your family, friends, and neighbors and break the matrix at InfoWarsStore.com. Learn the truth and spread the message of liberty with the world's most comprehensive collection of books and documentary films. Maintain a healthy metabolism and energize your body to perform at peak health with Survival Shield Nascent Iodine. Protect your family and be prepared with survival foods and emergency preparedness kits. And now you can drink safe water with your own ProPure water filtration system, which removes fluoride and other harmful chemicals from your family's water supply. Save 10% with the promo code WATER. So join the revolution. InfoWarsStore.com.
Well, welcome back. If you remember the landmark case, Clayman versus Obama, that challenged the NSA's universal collection of metadata as being unconstitutional, a violation of the Fourth Amendment. And we had a Judge Leon rule that it was, in fact, unconstitutional, as we all know it is. Now, the empire struck back, and we had another judge in New York, a Judge Pauly, said that it's just fine. And as we reported last week, the Department of Justice has now filed a motion to stop discovery in that victory. So we have Larry Clayman, who filed the lawsuit. He's with Judicial Watch and Freedom Watch. He founded both those organizations. Larry, thank you for joining us. Could you briefly recap for the audience what the lawsuit is and what was at stake in it?
Be happy to. I'm just with Freedom Watch now, and people can find that at freedomwatchusa.org. We filed this lawsuit back last June. There's two of them. Class actions, first to file class actions. We asked the court for what's known as a preliminary injunction, that is to stop the NSA from gathering this metadata through cell phones and internet on all American citizens, which it's been doing, over 300 million. And with regard to the first case, the one against Verizon, the judge entered a preliminary injunction order back on the 16th of December, which bars the NSA from continuing to collect and access this data. It has stayed, that order pending appeal, but we won. The judge found that that act is unconstitutional under the Fourth Amendment, an unreasonable search and seizure, and that it likely violated the U.S. Constitution. So that's where we are. And, of course, predictably, the government, to use the term loosely, it's the Obama administration through its Justice Department, comes in and seeks to stay, that is, stop the case, so it doesn't continue on, even pending appeal, because otherwise we'd be able to take discovery of the NSA and learn more about what's going on. We might even learn more than what Edward Snowden has revealed.
That's right.
They're scared to death. Obama's scared to death, and he had his henchmen at the Justice Department come in and file this motion. So we're opposing it. In fact, I've been working on it today.
Speaking of that motion, I was just looking at the actual motion. I found an amazing quote from this. In the introduction to it, it says, plaintiffs in these cases seek to invalidate important means by which the NSA, acting under authority of orders issued by the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, they have violated those orders. We learned in November that many FISA judges have complained that the NSA has exceeded their orders and their authority, and we've seen many NSA whistleblowers like William Binney and others talk about how the government has exceeded its authority. This all was broken by McClatchy and AP back in November, that they were doing whatever they wished.
Well, that's the irony of the whole thing, is that we had a court, we have a very courageous judge, Judge Richard Leon, who entered an order which is at odds with what the Fifth Court, the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, has done. And not long after Judge Leon issued that order, the Fifth Court went back and rubber-stamped another 90 days for this illegal surveillance. So we have three courts now that are at odds with each other. We have Leon, who's our judge, who found that this NSA surveillance is unconstitutional, violation of Fourth Amendment. You have this judge in New York who was appointed by Bill Clinton. Not surprisingly, he found it was okay. He's a Democrat. And now you've got the Fifth Court, and the Director of National Security, James Clapper and company, apparently went back to them to try to justify their illegal actions, too. So we have three courts that are fighting with each other right now. And it's most likely going to wind up at the Supreme Court, almost certain. But what's important is that we did have a judge put his foot forward and say that it was unconstitutional. Everybody knows it's unconstitutional. It's not really a great surprise legally. But these judges, a lot of them are very political, and they're yes men for the establishment. And that's what we found with this guy in Pauly, and that's what we find with the Fifth Court, who has authorized this illegal program in the past, even though they have found, yes, that NSA has lied to it repeatedly.
Yes, back in November, they said that they had found that they willfully violated it. Listen to what one of the Fisk judges said. He said, NSA has generally failed to adhere to special dissemination restrictions originally proposed by the government, repeatedly relied upon by the court and incorporated in the court orders as binding on the NSA. They say that communication data was, they accessed communications data that it wasn't authorized to have. And this is from secret judges issuing secret opinions that actually the Obama administration actually released back in November to try to bolster their case. I find that strange that they would release opinions that show they have gone beyond even the rubber stamps that the FISA court has given them.
Well, they were forced to under the Freedom of Information Act. They didn't willingly. But they're trying to, you know, they play the game. It's like the situation with Robert Gates, who comes forward, former Secretary of Defense, who reveals that Obama has been favoring Muslim interests over American servicemen in the Far East, resulting in the death of some of our GIs over there because we don't have rules of engagement that allow them to protect themselves. Well, you know, Gates comes out, and he basically calls Obama a traitor, in effect. And then Obama praises Gates that he was a great Secretary of Defense. They're just trying to deflect. They're trying to make it look like everything's normal.
Sure.
It's not normal. We're in a state of revolution. The country, you know, is up against the wall. Unfortunately, most people don't recognize it yet, but that was true in 1776.
Before we run out of time, I want to ask you about discovery. Exactly. Explain to the audience, people who aren't lawyers, who haven't been involved in a lawsuit, explain to them about discovery and why this is so vitally important and why the Department of Justice wants to block this.
Well, they're definitely afraid of it. What it is that you get to ask questions under oath, you know, and I'm known for that during the Clinton years. That's why they're so worried about it, because I had a good judge then, too, Judge Lambert, who allowed me to depose the White House and the Commerce Department and everybody under the sun, because that's the way you pry information out. And when you don't get the information that you've requested, you can go to the court and have it ordered. That's ironically, you know, how Nixon had to resign, because the court ordered that he produce his tapes during Watergate.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want to do that. And, you know, at the end of the day here, we're in such a volatile situation. Never has there been this kind of a violation of Americans' constitutional rights that God only knows what we'll get in discovery, and that's why they're afraid. Because there's going to be court monitoring as to what has to be produced. And, you know, they can try to delay this. The judge has already told them he's not going to put up with that. So I'm confident that the judge will work out some procedure that this case can go forward as the appellate process goes its way through the courts.
Absolutely. Well, I sure appreciate what you're doing. We all do. We're watching this very carefully. This is vitally important, because if the government can assert that its interests trump that of the people's interest and trump the legal restrictions of the Constitution, there are no restraints as to what the government can do. And we've seen that there are no restraints on what they're doing. We need to get those restraints put back on them. Your lawsuit is very important, and I really wish you well with that. We'll be watching this very closely. Thank you, Larry Klayman. RimWatchUSA.org. Thank you very much, Larry Klayman.
You're welcome. God bless. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that's an important question. The question is, are we going to have a government that is open and transparent and obeys the law and the Constitution they swore to uphold? Or are we going to have a secretive cabal of people who set up secret courts with secret rulings? This is something that is vitally important. We're going to be following this very closely, and you can follow it here at InfoWars Nightly News by getting a subscription. Just one subscription you can share with 10 other people simultaneously at the same time. And right now we have a New Year special where you can get 5 months for free if you sign up at this time for the first time. Well, that's it for tonight. We'll be back at 7 Central, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Now you can watch The Alex Jones Show live as it happens at InfoWars.com/show.
You'll find links to all of our content there and a free 15-day trial for Prison Planet TV.
More than 60 movies and documentaries all in one place at InfoWars.com/show.